Matthew chapter number 28.
Matthew 28 and verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He says, meet me here at this time. Hey, if the Lord gives you a time, if the Lord tells you to be somewhere at a certain time, you're going to want to be there. Remember, hey, Peter, James, John, come here. I want to show you something. Let's go up to this mountain. I'm kind of busy today. No, you're going to want to be here. Being where the Lord tells us is important. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Isn't that something? Something to me that, say, who's in this crowd? The 11 disciples. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just heard that song, and may that be our heart song, God, that you would send us. God, allow us to impact our world as we sang together this morning, that we might brighten the corner where we are. God, if you would allow us, if you would allow us to cast out a bit and be able to take the gospel maybe to those that have never heard. Lord, our desire is to serve you wherever you put us. God, I pray that you'd help us this morning to have a heart, a commitment to the Great Commission. Lord, bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. After the resurrection of Christ, Christ appears. That's the setting here. He's died, he has been buried, and 3 days later he has risen. And he says, I'd like to tell you some things. And here he meets with them. In Luke chapter number 24, we'll see very similar things. He tells them to stay in Jerusalem until... And our story picks up in Acts chapter number 1. As if we were to follow the timeline of things that were happening, this would be the next thing in the timeline, starting in verse 3. I guess we can just start in verse 1. Acts chapter number 1 and verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. What was that promise? We'll read that in a moment. Which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Christ promised that. He said, I'm going to send a comforter. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. He's giving them the plan of what's going to happen. They said, hey, are you going to rule and reign now? Is this the time that the kingdom here on earth is established? He says, that's not for you to know, but until that time, here's what I want you to do. Ever been given instruction? Maybe by a parent, a boss? You want to know about this thing. Okay, yeah, you're not privy to that information. I just want you to take care of this. Yeah, but what about this? Nope, just take care of this. Sometimes the kids, hey, Dad, what are we doing tonight? Yeah, well, right now, we're going to work on getting our chores done and our homework. Yeah. But what about tonight? Yeah, well, let's get our chores done. Let's get the things that I need you to do right now, and then we can talk about this later. That's kind of what the disciples were asking. Hey, tell us about when the kingdom's going to show up, when you're going to rule and reign and set all this thing in order. And he says, yeah, I understand that you want to talk about that, but I have something for you to do right now. And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Here is what I want you to do until I set that up. I want you to be witnesses. Very similar to what we just read in Matthew chapter 28, what we would consider the Great Commission, going to all the world, teaching Jesus, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says very similar things right here. And you shall be witnesses both in... you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. I want you to be a witness. I want you to take my message to the entire world. Can I say, in themselves, that would be a difficult task. I dare say, absolutely impossible. But he gave them something. He gave them power. He gave them the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. We ask ourselves, how could such a task of evangelizing the entire world happen without the leading and guiding of God? I'll tell you this, it cannot. That's why the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, isn't it a blessing to know that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us? God, I don't know what to do, or I don't know how to do that. You've asked me to do something that in myself I don't know how to do. I'm going to need some leadership. I'm going to need some guidance along the way. If our responsibility is to be witnesses until he comes back. Say, when do we stop being a witness? Oh, you'll know. Say, how will I know? Because you'll be looking face to face with Jesus. Until then, we tell everybody. The indwelling Holy Spirit of God. John chapter number 14. Hold your hand. Well, you can turn there. John chapter 14. We'll be looking at a number of verses this morning. This is the message of Christ. This was the last thing he said before he departed. I want you to be witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. In John chapter 14, we may ask ourselves again, how is this even possible? John 14, 16. It says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, look at now, and shall be in you. Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, please understand what I'm about to say, and in no way am I trying to take away his deity. But he could only be at one place at one time physically. He couldn't be on the cross and in the grave. He couldn't be in Jerusalem and in Galilee at the same time. He was only one man that could be in one place. He held all power. The Bible says all power was given unto him. We do know that he reined that back a little bit. But he was not omnipresent. But the Holy Spirit, he says, I am going to leave and I'm going to send something. Something for you. The indwelling Holy Spirit, the precious Spirit of God himself is going to be in you. That means God is with us no matter where we go. That means if I'm in this corner of the world or that corner of the world, the same Spirit is inside of us. Isn't that a blessing? Right now, by the power and Spirit of God, people are teaching Sunday school classrooms. And God is meeting with people all throughout this world today. This is the Lord's Day. This is the day that the church celebrates the resurrection of Christ every single week. Say, how could God? That's God. The indwelling Holy Spirit of God helping us. Hey, I don't know about you, but if that task was given to me, I'm going to be real honest with the Lord right off the bat and say, I'm going to need help. You know, when you get your first job or something like that, you don't know, you're not wise enough necessarily. Maybe you're 15, 16, maybe 18. You're not wise enough necessarily to ask for help right off the bat. The boss comes in and says, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this task. And you're like, oh yeah, I could do that. Having never done it, don't understand the machines, don't understand the process, don't understand who you're supposed to work with. You're just like, oh yeah, I can do that. Now, fast forward about 10 or 15 years later, having to work through those processes and understand, the boss comes in and says, all right, here's what I'm going to need you to do. I need you to do this task. And you're like, who am I working with? How does this thing work? What are my deadlines? All of a sudden, you got a lot of questions. Who's going to help me? Who's going to do that? Hey, you mature a little bit. And when God says, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take my message to the entire world. I immediately put my hand up and say, I'm going to need some help. If that's what you want, and he says, don't worry. I've given you the Spirit of God. See, where do I get that from? Is that at the church house? I'm going to put him, when you receive me as your Savior, I'm going to put him right inside of you. So there's not a spot, not a place in this world, because he says he will be with us always. So how is that possible? Well, I have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God now. I don't have to go to a place to get a hold of God. He's with me. All of a sudden, the job of the Great Commission just got a little bit easier. Why? Because we have help. We have wisdom. We have guidance. Look at Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, that's what we need. You're not under the law. Hey, I need to be led of the Spirit. Anybody like that here this morning? Yeah. I think we need to be a little more honest with the Great Commission. Say, what do you mean? What I mean by that is, I think we need to take it a little more serious. And I think we need to stop relying on our own ability to fulfill it. And start raising our hand and saying, I need help. I need a guide. I need to be filled with the Spirit according to Ephesians 5:18. I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to put aside this flesh. Hey, we don't like that. We talked about that in our Sunday school. One of the greatest enemies of the Christian walk is the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what we're combating. And that flesh, although the Holy Spirit of God is with us all the time, so is the flesh. And the flesh says, when the Spirit says, hey, time to get up and go to serve me, the flesh says, hit snooze. Hey, you make a decision Sunday night. The Lord's on your heart. Sunday night, you're at this altar, tears coming down, or just a commitment. I'm going to do better with my Bible reading and prayer time. You set your alarm early that Monday morning. Just 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And that flesh is like, absolutely not. And the battle, it goes on. Or to be filled with the Spirit of God. Or to walk in the Spirit. Hey, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we better get a hold of this. Because it's not in our own power. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We better get a hold of the word of God too. We better be strengthened spiritually. We do that through prayer. We do that through his word. How much time this week did you spend in the scriptures? Well, you know, on my phone, a verse of the day comes up. That's not enough. Well, you know, I just kind of, you know, when I need something, I do a little topical study and, you know, I read a couple of thoughts out of Psalms and that helps me. No doubt it helps you. But if we're going to really try and fulfill the Great Commission, we're going to have to take his word a little bit more serious too. Amen. So I just don't have time. Oh, can we just stop there? We just didn't make time. We've got plenty of time. How much time did you spend praying this week? How much time did you spend on your knees pleading on behalf of the lost souls of mankind for salvation to come to them? You know, when charity sings that song, we can just look at that stone cold and say, yeah, that's not me. I'm not asking that question to be sent somewhere. I'm having a hard time just keeping my head above water. I understand that. But I wonder if we were walking in the Spirit a little bit better, that we would even consider to ask the Lord that very question. Hey, if God commanded us, say, I want to be about the kingdom. God, I want you to come and I want you to set up the kingdom. I want you to right all the wrongs. And he says, yeah, I'm going to do that. But until then, I want you to be a witness for me. Are we doing that? Well, I try and live a godly life, and hey, that's good. And I'm glad. But I wonder if our approach to the Great Commission was the same approach that the original 11 disciples that day had. What would have been different? If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, number one, we need help. We have the God of heaven indwelling in us. Well, that's helpful. So what is it that you want me to take to the world? What do you want me to share with them? Is this get-rich-quick schemes? No. No, it is not. We're to take the message. You know, I'm going to show you some verses here. Jeremiah chapter number 9. For the most part, we have pretty nice neighbors. Around the corner, we got this nice older couple. They've been very nice to our children. They invite them in around Christmas time. They have little treats sometimes. They have a whole winter village. They really want our kids to come down and play basketball at their house. They like it. They like it when they come down. Our neighbor just down the way, he's a farmer, worked in farming for 30 years. Super nice guy, and just really wonderful people across the way. Lady has chickens, and it just keeps our dog busy, which is good, and chasing chickens and turkeys around in their yard. But for the most part, we got really nice neighbors. So why are you bringing that up? Well, the message that we're supposed to take to the world, it says in this, in Jeremiah 9:5, it says, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. You know, our neighbors without Christ are lost. They've been lied to. They've been deceived into thinking something contrary to the Scriptures. They need someone to bring them the message of truth. Say, so, yeah, I'll pray for someone like that. I mean, Pastor, I agree with you. This world is in a mess, and it needs Jesus. I'm going to pray that God would touch somebody's heart about taking the message to my neighbors. Hear what you're saying? God, I'm going to pray about the gospel going to the to those that have never heard before. I hope someone would yield themselves and go do that. Do you hear what you're saying? Pastor, I could never. Well, we have God's help. I said, well, I wouldn't even know where to go. Anywhere. The world thinks that the more gain they have, the more godly they are. It's all backwards. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Those that are without Christ thinks those that have the most win. No, not exactly. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Look at verse 5. 1 Timothy 6:5. It says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. He's like, you might want to stay away from that thought there. He says, from such withdraw thyself. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Hey, when you got the Lord, that's enough. And the world is trying to satisfy that innate and natural desire and need by every other way other than Christ. Thankful that we have the message of Christ. Talked to a lot of people throughout my days, and there's a lot of people discouraged, depressed. Have you heard that word a lot? Anxiety. Now, I understand that there's a clinical measure of that, but a lot of people are just deceived. They don't know the peace of God, the joy of God. They've tried to do things their own way and contrary to God. Say, no, no, I'm going to do my best. I understand doing your best, but how about you doing it God's way? This world is deceived. They're being told that the greatest message ever told is not what they need. That they can satisfy their eternal longing through things. That's backwards and wrong. If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, number one, we're going to need help. Thankfully, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Number two, we're going to need the right message to take to this world. Say, what is that message? The truth. The truth. It comes in a real easy package in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We call it the gospel. Go with me there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. You talk to someone that doesn't know the Bible and you ask them, hey, what is the gospel? You're going to get a very large range of answers. If I asked you, if I sat you down in my office, you sat on the side where I sit, and I sat on the side maybe you would sit or somebody else, or we sit at the table right here, and I gave you, and I pushed the Bible in front of you, and I said, can you please tell me how to get to heaven? Using the scriptures, can you tell me, please? I want to know how I get to heaven. What would you say? Would you say this? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Say, what is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believing that Jesus and his death washed away our sin. Believing that, yes, he was placed in the grave, but 3 days later he rose again, not just defeating sin, but defeating death itself. That Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. If the gospel to you is anything other than that, I'm sorry. You don't disagree with me. You disagree with God. Isn't it great that we can have such a clear, concise presentation of what it means to be saved? Hey, you don't have to come up with some message that is weeks long in series. The message that he wants you to take to this world is that message. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation. Clear, concise, so simple, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 18, even a child can understand it. If a child can understand it, surely I could teach it. Well, I'm just not a teacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You just have to reiterate what God already said. It's the truth. I'm going to ask this question now. So if we're to fulfill the Great Commission, say, well, I'm going to need help. Okay, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Well, I don't know what to say. He told us exactly what to say. I don't have to come up with anything. I've been at funerals, and it is a privilege to be asked to do funerals, weddings. And at funerals, sometimes the emotion of the funeral gets a little overwhelming, if you understand that. And sometimes close family or something like that, I'll ask, would you like to say anything? Pastor, I'm just kind of overtaken with emotions. I would feel better if I didn't have to say anything. I don't want to have to come up with words. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to make a mess in front of everybody. You know, just I just don't feel comfortable with that. I said, okay. And I've offered this many a times. And I say, how about you just read a passage of Scripture? Oh, what do you mean? Well, you know, maybe something like Psalm 23 or something like that. It's all scripted. It's all laid out for you. You just got to read the words. You don't have to add your own words. I think that's why God gave us His infallible, perfect Word. Say, why? Because if He left it up to us to come up with what to say, we'd make a mess of that thing. So He just said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it in nice, hard, leather-bound, kind of falling apart a little bit, but I'm going to give you the message that I want you to take. It's perfectly true. It's never going to change with time. It's the gospel. You just got to share it with somebody. That's the Great Commission. God with us to help us. The message that has not changed. All right? Now what? Now what do I do with that? If God's in me and He's equipped me with the message, now what? He tells us in Acts 1, verse 8. Charity sang about it in John chapter number 4 and verse 35. Hey, look under the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Now we just got to go out and take it to them. I have God inside of me. I have the message in my hand. He just needs feet to the message now. We have the field by which we should go to. In Acts chapter number 1 and verse 8, it said this. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Thankful, He indwells inside of us. And you shall be witnesses. Say, I don't know what message. He told us the message. Well, where am I supposed to go? Starting in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the starting point. Acts 1 and 2. This is where the message starts. Historically, spiritually speaking, or practically speaking, this is our direct influence, our direct areas of influence. We're to take the gospel to our homes, to our schools, to our workplaces, to our families, to the market, to those that are our neighbors. Those that we have an area of direct influence. That's our Jerusalem. That's why we printed up those John and Romans over the summer. I hope you were able to get out maybe once or twice throughout the summer to go door to door to our neighborhoods. I appreciate our young people. Appreciate the families that came out and participated in that. Thanks for getting behind that. Thanks for, I think we got over 1,000 John and Romans out this year over the summer. That's fantastic. That's 1,000 homes that might not have had the scriptures. Now they have the truth. What is that? We started in Hamlin, right here. Why? Because that's our Jerusalem. Hey, what's your Jerusalem? That's your home. That's your school. That's your workplace. That's your family. That's where you live. That's your neighborhood. Start there. Then it says, unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea. Judea is the area by which Jerusalem is in. So very similar to that of Jerusalem, just a little bit bigger of an expanse. Are you doing that? Say, what's the next area? Samaria. Samaria is the area to the north. The Samaritans were colonists who the king of Assyria sent to inhabit the land of Israel after the captivity. They were not liked by the Jews. Hey, the next step is not just your local community. Now we're going out to some people a little bit further that might not be so receptive, but we are still to go. Their response to the gospel doesn't indicate whether we should go or not. If you remember Paul, he was stoned outside of the city. What does he do? Hey, that's a good indicator. I shouldn't go back in. I guess they're not listening. He brushed himself off and said, we're going back in. If the measure by which the field in which we should deliver the gospel is, are they receptive to it? That is no measure at all. We're to go to Samaria. Close by, but maybe not that far away, maybe people slightly different. Samaria was a different culture, different language, different way of life. Hey, you don't have to travel too far to get to that. Well, I'm a country boy. Well, head into the city. I'm a city boy. Head out to the country. They're going to talk different. They're going to act a little bit different. But we're still to be witnesses. And then this. And under the uttermost part of the earth. That's everywhere else. There are 195 countries currently in our world. 8 billion people. That's a big world. That needs the gospel. 195 different countries. What are we doing to get the gospel out? I want the kingdom to show up. God said, I want you to be witnesses. I'm going to give you a job to do. I want you to take the gospel. I want you to be witnesses. Say, listen, Pastor, we're not all full-time like you. We got jobs. Exactly. Start in Jerusalem. Talk to your coworkers. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your family. You know where the gospel needs to start? About two doors down the hallway at your own home. Bring it to your children. Well, I'm just going to let them find their own way. Don't do that. Say, why not? Because you have the truth. I don't think you force anybody to make a decision, but present the truth. Well, I'm just going to let them seek it for themselves. I don't think that's a good idea. If the next week I got up and I preached the gospel of Buddha, well, I just want you to have free course and be able to pick one. It's a lie. Why are we so hesitant to speak the truth? Years and years ago, my youth pastor challenged me with this thought. It was a sentence he said in passing. I wrote it in my Bible. He said, Nick, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. You have the message of God. And there's a field out there. What are you waiting for? He challenged me with that. I wrote it down. It had a great impact on me. From those days forward, I was praying that God would allow me to serve him in a foreign land, to take the gospel to those that have never heard. I thought that was going to be the direction for my life. God had different plans, and here we are, to which I am thankful to be able to serve the Lord. But it's still the same message. It's still the same plan. Hey, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. I'm going to need help. Great, I'll put the power of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Well, I don't know what to say. Great, I'll give you truth. Well, I don't know where to go. Everywhere. So are you fulfilling the Great Commission? If you were one of those first, what would have happened? If they took the pattern by which you live today and applied it to Acts chapter 1 and 2, what would Acts chapter 3 look like? What would Acts chapter 5 look like? What would Acts chapter 7 look like? What would Acts chapter 9 look like? How about chapter 10? We get so caught up with our own agenda that we fail to remember the Great Commission. Well, it's just not my thing. It's all our thing. So what are you waiting for? Has God touched your heart about missions? We have an obligation to get the gospel to the entire world. We have one of two things. We either give to it or we go to it. I love that song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. That's what missions is. Missions is just doing what you're doing here somewhere else. Hey, why don't you start here? Start with Jerusalem. Start talking to your neighbors. Start talking to your coworkers. Start inviting people to church. Start sharing the gospel. Again, I ask you, did you share the gospel with anybody this week? Is there another person out of the 8 billion people in this world that heard the gospel this week by your own mouth? Well, it's all our thing. It is the Great Commission. It is the message of Christ. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. We have the message of God. We have the field from God. Now what? Now what? What are you going to do with that? Let's all stand.